That's kind of the number one. And if you don't think you are the most important person that you know, I mean, this would be hard to do. This would take something called self-discipline, which is a kind of a no-no. But if a person wants to apply some self-discipline, if they wash their mind, this is a horrifying thought, but if a person watched his or her mind, if one wishes to give the mind a gender, over a course of a 24-hour period, and you watched it very, very closely and objectively the entire 24 hours, you'd probably notice that what was on it most of the time was yourself. So in that sense, each of us is the most important person. And then it goes out from there. You know, we have our, quote, good, we have our, quote, significant others. And they're almost as real to ourselves as we are to ourselves, but not quite as real as we are to ourselves. And then it goes out to friends, maybe a few, and acquaintances. And the further out it gets, the less real the people become. Until pretty soon you just see them on the news and they're not real at all. And there are 6 billion of us on the planet. Most of us aren't even real to each other. We're only real to a handful of other people. And of course, ourselves. So we go through this, we're, to use one of those academic words, we go through this acculturation process. And we end up thinking that we're Mr. and Miss So-and-so. And we end up thinking that when we look in the mirror, we're seeing ourselves. And then having decided we're seeing ourselves when we look in the mirror, then we start making judgments about the self we're seeing in the mirror and have to do various things to adjust its appearance so it looks in the mirror like we want it to look in the mirror, which is to say we've become identified with our bodies. Which is a pretty weird thing to become identified with if the reality is nothingness. But once I'm identified with my body, you know, like I say, I point to my body. And those of you who have raised children know, or hopefully you might remember, that it took them a while before they could point to their body and say the word I. And have any idea what the hell they're talking about. Because when they first come in, they're not their bodies, and they know they're not their bodies. It's all got to do with consciousness. And anyway, we get stuck here. And thinking we're a body with a name and a job description or not. And a success or not. Self-indulgent or masochistic, you know, seeking pain, avoiding pleasure. Unless we're on the opposite one, then we're doing the opposite. Seeking pain, avoiding pleasure at all costs. Wouldn't want to have a good day. So we oscillate a lot. You know, I guess, you know, some of us, you know, like we have good days, bad days. We know good people, we know bad people, you know. And our minds keep us really busy. Usually they're awake before we are. So by the time we wake up, they're already full on, you know, regretting yesterday or planning tomorrow or, you know, horrified at the idea they're going to have to be at work in 2 hours, which they hate. They hate with a passion. They'll tell you all about how much they hate it, but for some reason they keep doing it. I hate this, but I'm going to continue doing it. And I don't know why I'm not happy. And, So here we are, you know, in this unenlightened state, and these beings come and try to help us suffer less. Because if we're all really honest with ourselves, if not with one another, unless we've made some significant, use this word again, some significant spiritual progress, we're probably not that happy that much of the time. If we really looked at ourselves objectively over some time frame, you know, how much of my time has actually been joyous? Has actually been optimistic, hopeful, grateful, thoughtful? Not a lot, you know. And if we can't figure out how to get those positive states, we go about finding them artificially somehow. Maybe a new significant other will make me happy. Or at least getting rid of the current one. Yeah. Or a new house might do it. Or car. Or maybe necktie. Or perfume. So we spend a lot of time trying to make ourselves happy. And I'm not necessarily speaking of us in this room. We're probably all exceptions. But we do spend a lot of time trying to make ourselves happy. And even when we succeed, and we've all succeeded, we all have had our moments, some glorious, you know. But the thing is that these moments are moments, and they pass. So then we're looking for it again. And the sages teach that as long as we're looking for the happiness in the world, we're never going to find it, except in ephemeral terms. It's going to pass. So where is the happiness? Or the joy or the peace. It's in the zero principle. It's in the void. It's in the part of life that's not caught up in the opposites. Most of us are spending time in what some people have called the basement of human life. The basement is where the object is pleasure and the anti-object is pain or displeasure. So a lot of us are seeking pleasure and attempting to avoid pain. And that's just an ongoing, kind of tiring process. And the thing about all these opposites, I don't know if you've all probably seen a pendulum swinging back and forth. And the thing that once struck me watching a pendulum swinging back and forth was there's a point at the bottom where it's stationary. But you can't see that point when it's swinging. But that point has to exist. And that point where it's stationary, where it's going neither to the right nor to the left, is an expression of the zero principle. The reason that teachers try to get us to engage in some kind of spiritual practice that involves the mind is because it's only through the mind that we can find those points through which the movement is passing. This is sometimes called stilling the mind. It's very hard to still the mind. I don't know how many of you have tried it. But if you've tried it, it's not real cooperative. Okay, I'm just going to sit here for a moment and not have any thoughts. I'm just going to be very, very still. Try it. It's a trip. If you can do that and say, if you can say, okay, I'm just going to sit here and be very still and not have one thought. If you can do that for 5 minutes, you're pretty far along. Because most of us, after a few seconds, something's going to come in there. If only the thought, why am I doing this anyway? I could be having fun somewhere. Why be still?